first reading today is Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy. Like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the law are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is a great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have domain over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The second reading today is from John, beginning at the second chapter, verse 13. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "The temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scriptures and the word that Jesus had spoken. The word of the Lord, praise be to God.
Thank you, Bob. Sermon this morning is the body temple. The city of Kamashi, 40,000 residents, lost a little more than 2.5% of their population to the tsunami. 888 known dead, 158 missing, presumed dead. If you read this morning's New York Times, you'll read the story of two of the survivors. One was a 36-year-old woman named Fumi Arai. And she went looking for her mother after the waters had receded. And she found herself in a middle school gym among hundreds and hundreds of bodies. And she found her mother. Her mother was covered in mud and partially wrapped in plastic. A terrible thing it would be to have to identify your own kin. But she said it was made less terrible by one fact, and that was that her mother's face had been washed clean. A man, early 70s man, Atsushi Chiba, retired father of five, also had gone to that same gym a few days earlier looking for members of his family. And when he got there, he was horrified by the sight he saw, the conditions of the bodies, and knowing that people were going to be coming to identify their dead, and how shocked they would be and how horrible it would be for them. Mr. Chiba is a retired funeral director. And so he immediately set about turning a gym morgue full of over 800 bodies into a funeral home. Following Buddhist custom, he had public workers bring him two desks, out of which he created an altar. It was he himself who wiped the face of Fumi's mother. It was he himself who taught the public workers who were so overwhelmed how to massage a body that had suffered through rigor mortis, how to gently massage it and relax limbs down. He taught them to clean bodies. In one case, part of a family commented on how their loved one looked so gaunt. He brought blush and rouge and put makeup on her face before more families got there. He would talk to the bodies as he was working on them, saying they were sacred. They were sacred when they were alive, and likewise they were sacred in death. And he would say things like, "You must be cold and very lonely, but your family is coming soon, and you need to think about what you want to say to them." As he worked tirelessly on body after body, restoring dignity to those who had been swept from life. The town of Kameishi, population 40,000, having lost 2.5% of its residents in one fell swoop, was one of the only towns in all of Japan who gave each and every one of the victims they had found the proper cremation that is called for by Japanese tradition. Every single one of those 888 dead received a proper funeral and burial, in large part due to this man who recognized the sacredness of the temple in which we live our lives. I do a lot of funerals, and I must say, those moments when I do them are among the most sacred in all of my ministry. Because the death of a loved one is an opportunity for us to really fully realize how wondrous and miraculous is the gift of life itself. And it is in those moments of sorting through memories and coming to terms with what you've had in your life and with what has been taken away. It's in those moments, I think, that we are best able to recognize the holiness within ourselves, the sacredness of our own bodies. Our own bodies that for a time work not so well until we learn how to use them and grow into them. And then we finally get used to them and we finally know how to work them, and then aging takes place and some parts don't work so well anymore. And it seems to me that being mortal and living in a flesh temple is all about discoveries, all about hellos and goodbyes, all about joy and mourning. But Jesus said his body was a temple. And it's been said that our bodies are temples too. And this is very true. At a funeral, we recognize how sacred we are. At a birth, we recognize how sacred we are. At special milestone moments in our lives, we get a glimpse again of the sacred in us that God has placed there, of the goodness, of the miracle of bodies that can do this and this, even when they stop being able to do those things. Still, a blessed and sacred miracle. The body is indeed a temple. It is the unit that God uses to minister to the world. Each and every one of our bodies God uses to do the work of building new libraries or distributing food for a food cupboard or teaching children or sitting with someone who is grieving. Our bodies are God's church. Our minds, hopefully, are trained by God to do the work of the temple, to drive out the money changers, as Jesus did, to drive out those things that would turn that which is beautiful and sacred to something cheap and self-aggrandizing. Our bodies are temples. Some of the buildings are brand new. Some of them are falling apart. But all of them are for sacred tasks. The same Savior who called the body a temple also called the temple a body. We talk of our church as being the body of Christ. And so it is. So this physical location, where are we now? Are we in the stomach? Are we in the heart? Are we in the brain center? This temple is also a body. It moves. It changes. It reaches out into the world. It makes mistakes and gets messy. It proves its worth. It proves its flaws. And it is incredibly blessed and overwhelmingly human. So today we welcome new bodies into our body. And today we begin to figure out how these new parts will fit and what ministries can happen, what new and wonderful things can happen with these folks who have joined us. And so it is also today that we each woke up this morning. Well, most of us woke up this morning to a new day. We woke up to a new day where we will encounter different people, where we will find ourselves in different places. And it will be up to us to be a church. It will be up to us to worship our God in every encounter. It will be up to us to let our bodies be church and temples. This man in his 70s who came to a morgue to find his family, who was grieving himself, and turned that morgue into a temple. Well, I would say that the man himself must be something of a Buddhist shrine, wouldn't you say? For those people in Japan, I'm sure they looked at him and they saw the very Buddha. They wrote a book about him. It's one of the best-selling books in all of Japan. And he became an inspiration to a people who even to this day so need hope and so need a reason to get up and do today. People whose whole lives were washed away and who were coming to a place to see just how miserable their lives had become. They'd come to a place to see just how much they had lost. And because of one temple, because of one church in one man, what they found in their place of most profound emptiness was a sacredness that could not be washed away. Our bodies are temples. And you and me, just like Jesus, we can be knocked around, we can be torn down, we can be slapped upside the head, we can be bruised and broken and beaten, but we are still God's. We belong to God, and God still dwells in us. Our body is a temple. And just like the psalmist said, in recognizing this fact, in Psalm 19, which we read today, talking about how we love God. God is wonderful. We try our best. but we still mess up. And it's up to us to turn to our God and say, please, God, make the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, and we can add the work of our hands, be acceptable in your sight. Amen.